Welcome to the Cosmic Business Podcast. I'm Paula Crossfield, a Vedic astrologer, business coach, and CEO of Weave Your Bliss, a company with the goal to help a million spirit-led entrepreneurs build a cosmic business around their genius so that they can earn wildly well and bankroll the change they want to see in the world. A cosmic business is a new paradigm business that believes in collaboration over competition, building a business around your unique genius, aligning to the planets and your intuition, leading with your values, putting your health and the health of the planet first, treating people fairly, and building giving into your business model. Sounds fabulous, right? On this show, I will take you behind the scenes of my thriving multi-six-figure business, including strategy on closing more sales, nurturing your community online, plus astrological insights to optimize your business and life. We'll also feature conversations with spirit-led business owners, creatives, and changemakers to inspire you. I'm coming to you from our regenerative farm in rural Maine, my happy place, where we are currently creating space to welcome community for retreat and earth reconnection. Let's jump into the conversation. Hello, my friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. I'm Paula, and I'm thrilled to share this episode with you featuring my client, Frederica Cuvé, who does incredible work teaching Ayurveda and how it relates to our mental health and relationships. You will hear a bit about how we work together in this episode, but Frederica has taken part in a few of my group programs where I helped her start a new successful wing of her already thriving business as an Ayurveda teacher in the Netherlands, in the Dutch language. So she was starting a wing of her business that was focused in more specifically on relationships and how Vedic psychology can help us to transform. And it was all in English. So in this episode, we discussed the specific aha moment she had when we worked together one-on-one with her astrological blueprint, how our triggers actually give us an opportunity to heal, specifically in relationship, what a samskar is, and how these get in the way of us doing our dharma, how Ayurvedic psychology works to support us when we are brokenhearted for any reason, and more. Before we jump into this episode, I wanted to remind you that if you would like to create a more streamlined and supportive approach to your business, or you are newish to business or pivoting into a new area of your business, I can help you set yourself up in a strong way with burnout-proof strategies, clear marketing that calls in your ideal clients, and a community of like-minded business owners supporting one another inside my year-long program, the Cosmic Business Lab. This month, we are doing a visibility sprint together. And this week, we'll be focusing on finding the topics to talk about that help our ideal clients say yes to working with us. All the details and the link to sign up are in the show notes. Okay, a little bit more about Frederica. With over 18 years of dedicated experience in the field of Ayurveda, Frederica Cuvé has assisted thousands on their path to emotional well-being and trained hundreds of students in this transformative journey. Ayurveda illuminated her path in 2005, guiding her towards self-love, care, and profound healing. Over the years, her interests have grown, especially in the direction of Vedic psychology and in the field of love relationships. We've got a big announcement coming next week, so stay tuned for that. The next podcast will come out on Tuesday after the eclipse, so a little bit delayed. And without further ado, here is my interview with Frederica Cuvé. Hello, Frederica. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to your super cool podcast.
I'm glad to have you here. I know we're going to talk about Ayurvedic psychology and Ayurveda for a broken heart, which is a lot of the work that you're doing right now. But I sort of wanted to like zoom out because you're really well known as an Ayurveda, I don't know what you would say, like an Ayurveda teacher or practitioner and coach, maybe in the Netherlands. So in the language of Dutch, most of your teaching is happening in Dutch. I know that when we met, you had a really established school there and you still do. And you came to work with me because we were going to put together like a program for a new market. So I'm curious, just tell us a little bit about your existing business in Dutch and where it was at as far as like team and offers and things like that before you went to decide to like make a switch and open a new market.
I've been having this company since 2009. And I started being an Ayurvedic practitioner. And I started giving some courses to people in the Netherlands. And it was just like in the beginning, just like sitting around my kitchen table. And after some time, there were more and more people that wanted to do the course. And then after 1 or 2 years, these people said, can't you just like take us like on a course for a year, maybe longer than just like a couple of weeks? So this is how I started my first year course. And 30 people signed up, which was a lot because I thought maybe like 5 people that will be there, you know? Because at that time, nobody had heard of Ayurveda. It was super new. So after that first year, people were asking, so what are we going to do next? So I started the new year and everything just started like being very, it was just very organically. And then now we have a school for more than 10 years where we teach people how to apply Ayurvedic knowledge into their own lives and also use it to be a counselor or a coach, using all the remedies that Ayurveda can bring into people's lives. And last, I think 5, 6, maybe 7 years, my interest swayed more and more towards the spiritual and psychological part of Ayurveda, of the Vedas, basically. And also sometimes I was speaking about these things, I was implementing them in my own life, and I thought this is so cool because there isn't really scriptures, like Vedic scriptures about psychology. If you're just using the Ayurvedic concepts and you apply them to our Western modern thinking, it's so cool because it really works. And then I met with you and also I love going to America and I always love talking to people there who are also from the Ayurvedic scene. And I thought I really wanted to do something more with psychology. And this is, I remember talking to you and it was so cool because I was in your program and we had this first talk. And then within 10 minutes, you came up with such a great niche because you said, Ayurvedic psychology, that's too much. We have to niche. Yeah, that was so cool because I was like, oh yeah, Ayurvedic psychology, that is a niche. And you're like, yeah, but like everybody has problems, you know, be more specific. And then I realized, I remember that I was brokenhearted some years back and I was searching for remedies everywhere. I remember like being devastated, sitting in my living room, 4 o'clock in the morning, searching online for anybody out there who could help me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anything. And then I was like, after some weeks or months, was a pretty long time, was like a very deep wound came up. I was like, but dude, I mean, you've got all the knowledge, just, you know, do it yourself. And then I started applying all these remedies and I thought, wow, this is so amazing. Like if I'm, you know, out of this deep, dark hole, I have to be the person actually that is there when people are searching online, like trying to find something. And then I thought, yeah, I have to make this more international. I don't know how to do this. So this is when, yeah, actually, I think we met, you and me, and then talked about this niche in the program. I'm still doing the general Ayurveda part in the Netherlands, teaching in the school, counseling people. But at the same time, I really want to, you know, do more with the Ayurvedic psychology. And I also see in the Netherlands, my students, they really love it. It's so super interesting. So it goes very deep.
Yeah, totally. I love that. And so I just want to emphasize, though, that you have this established business, right? Over 10 years that you've proven the model, right? And you have team and support. And that's really the ideal time to be like, okay, let's experiment with a new market. So for those of people out there listening, I often will say like, you have 2 businesses when they come to me, or you have 3 businesses because they're offering things in various niches. So a niche is like your specialty, like who are you focusing on, right? So when we're talking, you have 2 focuses, but it's because you have a team and you have support. So I want to emphasize that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
And then also, you know, when we talk about the session we did together, you know, I have your chart here. And one thing that's super unique about your chart is you have a very strong Venus, which Venus is related to Ayurveda. Almost always I see people having, you know, being in a period of Venus or having Venus somewhere that indicates that they might have an interest in like an alternative approach. It's not an alternative, but a traditional approach to healing, I would say. But it's also the planet of relationships and love. And you currently are in Saturn, Mercury, and Mercury's with Venus. This is a really interesting combination. I personally have seen with a number of clients, and I have this in my chart as well, when those 2 planets are together, the person really like forms deep, meaningful, powerful, transformative relationships with partners. Like they have this sort of like twin flame experience. And it's not uncommon for that to be like a theme in their life. that they're hungry for that and they want to have that. You know, so through the lens of your learning, your karma, unlocking your karma, it's really through that lens of relationships, which makes you have this like special knowledge from the inside out. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally. And also have to say that my business is called From Drama to Dharma, meaning like, you know, we can use our drama, we can use it to follow our dharma. And in my personal experience, like the most drama I have encountered in my life was through love relationships. They were never easy for me. So I thought, I do believe that if you have a weakness and you can kind of like get over it, you can use it as a strength. Like if I help people with their broken hearts, I'm not just like saying it, oh yeah, because, you know, I think this will work. Now, I know it will work because I've been there. So yeah, relationship has definitely always been like a important topic for me throughout my life.
So let's talk like more practically speaking, like how does Ayurveda help a broken heart?
Yeah. So what I found very interesting is especially Samkhya, which is the Vedic philosophy also behind Ayurveda. And it says that we have these samskars, and these samskars are basically scars in our souls that we bring here from past lives. And all the universe does every day is mirror our samskars. So whatever happens in your life, and I strongly believe this, is just mirroring of what you believe in or all the stuff that you still need to heal. Sometimes it's small stuff, like maybe you're in the supermarket and some old lady is like, I don't know, trying to go in front of you. And you can maybe be upset. You think, why is always everybody always like not seeing me? That could be like a tiny samskar. But the moment something really intense happens in your life, this is your gold, actually. Because when your heart is broken, like when you leave a love relationship, or even when you're still inside of a love relationship, you feel your heart broken. It's not like you can't really go around it, right? Like you have to deal with it. You can do two things in that time. Like you can go into the suffering, into the drama, or you can think, oh, cool, man, some samskars are being mirrored here. This is actually the time they're really being brought up. I can heal them. And then with this Ayurvedic way, with these concepts, we can really work on them. So first thing to do is to realize this is not about this guy or this woman or, you know, this person that's left me. That person was just a trigger. The trigger to show me the wounds that I still have to heal. So I'm taking full responsibility for the pain I'm experiencing now at this moment. So this is one of the first things to do. And then secondly, we can weave in a lot of different concepts from the Vedas. One of the most important things is, for example, if you're like fully in your drama, try to recognize the dosha. So according to Ayurveda, there are three doshas, and every one of them is connected to different emotions and also the way we react in certain situations. Like sometimes you can be maybe very indecisive. I remember when I had this big breakup, I was thinking all the time, oh, maybe I should call him. Oh, maybe I should not call him. Oh, maybe I should call him. Should I go to his house? You know, all these like thoughts like running through your mind. You just don't know what to do. But at that moment, I realized, oh my God, this is just my Vata, because Vata makes your mind going in all directions. All I need to do right now is oil myself, which is a great remedy for Vata. I go to bed early, make sure I eat like nice nourishing foods, tidy up my house. And then if you do that, if you calm down your Vata immediately, you will see the right action to take. It's like more responding than reacting. Or if your Pitta is high, for example, Pitta is connected to anger, rage, jealousy. And also what Pitta does is project. I also remember from my own breakup, like we split up and then I was really blaming him all the time because he did this and he didn't do this. But the moment I started realizing, oh my God, this is my Pitta, you know, he's trying to blame him so I don't have to blame myself. Then I could just like take the remedies for Pitta. I was putting some coconut oil on my feet, drinking some aloe vera juice, just going out to the woods with my bare feet on the ground, you know, all these cooling remedies. And then I was like, oh yeah, you know, it's not only just the other person. It's actually just a reflection of what I'm feeling inside.
Yeah, I think this is so magical because I think a lot of times, especially in the West, we don't see these really practical, simple things as doing enough. We think like, oh, we have to do mind tricks and go to therapy, which is great. I'm not dissing therapy at all. I'm in therapy, but I just mean like, that we have to do something about the thoughts. And I think like what we've learned from spiritual traditions is actually not believing the thought as part of the work. And then actually just like taking some other action, like according to Ayurveda, usually the opposite action to kind of counter the tendency. So that's what you just described so well.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. But like that's such a good explanation what you just gave us. Because also the moment you start really identifying with the story, oh my God, he left me. I'm a divorced woman now with two children and everything. But the moment you victimize yourself, you become more of a victim. Or whatever it is that's happening in your life, the moment you really attach to the story, and even in modern psychology, and I do really respect it, like you said, it can really help. But sometimes we get too much stuck in the story. You know, this happened and this is why I am doing this right now. Or because my dad left me when I left the family when I was 6 years old, now I have a really commitment issues. All these things, it's like it's very attached to the story. And the moment we let go of the story, we can actually really find the samskaras. Because if you look at it from a Vedic point of view, you don't know when this samskar started. It could have been in this life or in the past life. And who cares, really? All you
right.
want yeah. is just get rid of it, right? And heal it.
yeah. So tell us, like, let's break down what is Vedic psychology specifically. Like, I mean, I know you mentioned Sankhya, but let's talk about it. Like, if somebody's just encountering this for the first time.
Yeah. So basically the Vedas, according to the Vedas, like the philosophy is about the journey from consciousness to matter. So it's really about we are just pure consciousness. And the longer we existed, the more dense we became. And I think that's a really cool thought that like the more dense we are becoming, like we have this human form, we are really identified with the shape we have, we are identified with our personality. I think you really believe you are Paula, right? I mean, I believe I'm Frederik sometimes. But also like according to Vedas, we're not really, we're just like identified mass. If you're taking this whole Vedic concepts about how we are identified with the things that happen to us in life, we can actually make the journey back from matter into consciousness and try to be actually to just become enlightened, as in take a break from all the suffering and not just take a break, heal all that suffering. It keeps us kind of in the groove. The Vedic philosophy has also a lot of things to do with karma. So everything that happens must have a result. So that means like do good stuff so you have good results. If you believe something, if you really strongly have a samskar, samskar is basically a belief system. You will attract more of it. So with the Vedic psychology, you're trying to change these samskars, which is hard because it's kind of like, you know, the record playing going in the groove, like the needle in the groove. So it's hard to like change it, but there's ways. And I think this work is really cool. It's actually fun to do even like the moment you are in a difficult situation and you recognize a samskar. For example, nobody loves me. That's a samskar, which is like, you know, you really believe in it. So you will encounter people that show you that they don't love you, you know, that make you feel like that. Yeah. But the moment you start turning it around and you start really digest all these old digested emotions, then yeah, you can start to attract a really cool and great life and a life that is actually in line with your dharma. And I think that's one of the most important concepts in the Vedas, follow your dharma. So the righteousness, the thing that you have to do here on this plane, the thing that you have to do to completely aligned with the divine. So it's not always easy because
it's not like I'm just returning from a retreat in the Bahamas with Krishna Das. And, you know, he said this a couple of times when I've been in his satsang, but it really hit me this time when he was talking about Neem Karoli Baba, who he calls Maharaji. He says that Westerners, they don't need these complicated breathing practices and yoga and all these things. They need devotion and they need to just repeat the name. And that would do so much for us to get us outside of our self-centeredness, which I think is the root of what you're talking about. Because when we're cycling the story, it's sort of like inside of us going in circles rather than being like, zooming out. I always think of it as like, I'm watching myself a little bit and I'm like, oh, look what I'm doing. And like you said, it can be fun because you're like, ho, there's Paula getting caught in that thing again, you know? And it's like, usually the best remedy for me is like you said, it's using an Ayurvedic thing or go and do a mantra. Just go do the Hanuman Chalisa. I just take myself so much less seriously having this point of view.
Yeah, definitely. And these spiritual remedies like doing the Hanuman Chalisa or doing a puja or Agnihotra, I really love them because to me, they work on a very subtle level. So for example, if your Vata is super high, the best thing you can do is tidy up your room because you might even forget the words to the Hanuman Chalisa because your Vata is so high or your fire, you know, your Agnihotra, which is like a ceremonial fire will get really messy and like, you know, die out all the time. I really like the concept of using like very dense remedies and then make them more and more subtle. And I think these spiritual remedies, I love them. And we have to do them every day because the result sometimes is not immediate. They are much stronger on the samskar level because they're working more like on this very subtle kind of soul level where the vata, pitta, kapha, they're basically very physical. It's very physical stuff. So there's remedies for all levels, definitely.
I'm curious because I know we've talked about this when, you know, you're talking about love relationships. It's very concrete. It's very easy to understand when you feel like you have a broken heart, but you maybe have a broken heart because you have a row with a family member and you've fallen out or you've lost a friend or even like what's going on in the world. You know, we can all feel like we have a broken heart, like looking around us and seeing what's going on in the world. So would you say these remedies work in those situations as well?
Yeah, definitely. Because also the moment something happens and you are triggered, and at that moment, if there is actually any moment you're feeling triggered emotionally, it means there's some scar like showing up. It's an opportunity. If you have a difficult relationship with your sister-in-law, you know, you don't have like a good relationship with your father or your mother or children, it doesn't really matter who it is. Your heart can always be broken. You can always have these, you know, this soreness or these wounds coming up. So it's applicable in any situation, even if you get fired, a job you really love. The moment you're feeling any kind of emotional suffering, this is where your diamonds are. This is where the gold is, because this is where you can do the work. And you can use the situation as a gateway to actually find the samskaras and heal them. So if you really properly heal them, also what I've seen is sometimes something happens in your life. And then if you zoom out and ask yourself, did I experience this feeling before? It's often yes. Yes, I have experienced this feeling before. It was a different situation, the exact same feeling. It means it's coming back all the time. It's like a loop. So the moment you start recognizing this, and again, somebody said something to you that was really hurtful, or again, you tried to get a promotion, but you didn't get it. And it's like, you know, I'm never getting these things. And you're thinking, okay, this is interesting. It's happening all the time to me. So now I'm going to dive deep, go into the gateway, heal what's underneath. So you will find that if the samskara is gone, you will start attracting other things. I really love that. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's your love relationship or your work or your family, anything.
I would love to just say here too that like EMDR is something that I've been working with my therapist. It's been very interesting to see the interrelation of things because they live in a neural network together. And there's something about that bilateral stimulation of the eyes. This is like a shout out for therapy, but that bilateral stimulation, it helps to pop out the neural network. So you actually can see sort of how things are related. So if that's interesting, then you can go like, oh, I keep this pattern has repeated itself several times. If you need that confirmation and then, you know, use the tools that Frederica is offering and then work on those. And I will say as well, like what you said about this process of working through your samskaras as being a way into figuring out your dharma. I think a lot of us are confused about our purpose because it's like we're clouded by a lot of this stuff. And, you know, the Vedas or the scriptures, a lot of the saints, they talk about polishing your mirror. And this is really what I feel like they're talking about is clearing the samskaras. Like I never could have imagined 10 years ago that I would be a business coach and a Vedic astrologer with the kind of ambition that I have. And that's not because it wasn't inside me, buried inside me. It was that there was too many clouded blockages that needed to be cleared in order for me to get to this place. So I don't know what you have to say about that.
And I totally recognize this. I mean, I'm in a very happy love relationship right now, but I had to clear a lot of dust from that mirror for sure. I think it's the same thing. And the moment, and what I also believe is like in the beginning, like when we start doing this work, there's a lot of dust. Did you say dust or mud on the mirror?
I said dust. But either
yeah.
way.
Yeah. So I think there's so much different kind of dust. And then the moment we start healing, digesting this dust, basically, which we have a method for. And then the mirror starts to become clear. I don't know if you also experienced this, but looking back like 20 years ago, I was a very dramatic person. And like anything would really like get me off, like, you know, like things would happen. Somebody would say something very small and I would like get really upset. And now after 20 or more years, when I look back, like I'm way calmer and more balanced, but there's like one, two or three samskaras that are so deep and they still happen. They still happen. I know I still have to work on them. I recognize
them
because there's not so many tiny ones anymore. It's like really deep ones. I know them. I know exactly when they come. I know exactly what to do whenever they show up. And it's very interesting how, you know, there's like a little bit of dust, but this dust is like really stuck, you know.
Yeah.
I have to polish.
Yeah, that's mud. That is the mud right there. We need some like power tools to remove it. So can you talk a little bit about your methodology and how people can work with you?
Yeah. So methodology is called from drama to dharma. So we're using the drama. So if you have any drama, it's great because this is what you want to work with. I mean, if people are saying my life is super happy, I don't want to change anything. I know there's always something that, you know, you can use for this. But like if you're experiencing like a dark night of the soul, it's very good to do this work. And even if there's maybe it's not that bad, but you're like thinking there could be more, or you know, there's something that keeps on occurring to me, this is the
work. Or if you don't know what your purpose is, or you're feeling confused about that too.
Definitely. So what we do basically, there's a method, like a step-by-step program. So the first thing is taking responsibility. So anytime you are feeling something, it's your samskar. It's not anyone else. Then second of all, we have to check which dosha is involved, because the moment a dosha, Vata, Pitta, or Kapha is very imbalanced, it means that it takes over control. So, for example, if you're feeling a little bit angry, it's fine. You can kind of acknowledge it and maybe like, you know, deal with it. But if you're super angry, intensely furious, like you're raging, you need to first calm down Pitta. Or if you're having a lot of anxiety, or if you are super indecisive, or if you're feeling like super down and heavy, you need to work with Vata, Pitta, or Kapha first in order to kind of get control over these emotions. So we always figure out like which emotions are involved, and it has nothing to do with your Ayurvedic body type. I think this is also the cool thing. We all carry Vata, Pitta, Kapha within our system. So in a situation of drama, as I call it, they can all show up, and they can all even show up at the same time, which is confusing. And I really like always to kind of dissect it, you know, like what's going on, which ones are there. Then the second one is we are checking Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, which are basically they're also called the doshas of the mind. So in what kind of way are you using your intelligence to deal with the situation? And this is also where we find dharma. So what is the best thing to do in the situation, and why aren't you doing a thing? This also says something about your dharma. I'll give you an example. For example, okay, say you are in a relationship which makes you very unhappy, and you kind of know you have to leave, but you don't. Or you have to stand up for yourself, but you don't. So why aren't you standing up for yourself? Because there's a samskar. It's like a samskar saying something on your forehead, like, I don't deserve respect or something like this. So the moment you're actually choosing the right thing, so maybe you're going to stand up for yourself, or you're going to leave that person, a lot of samskars, they will show up, like fear, anxiety, like, oh my God, what are other people going to think of me? Or maybe I'm going to lose my house because, you know, he or she's bringing in all the money. All these things can happen. So Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, working on those with very practical remedies can help us make the right decision. And then we have to look at emotions. And these emotions, they are like bringing us right into the samskars. And we do it in different ways. I love doing a specific meditation called the sticky stuff meditation, where we take a situation, a story. For example, you just had a conversation with your partner, and you know, like it was about the dishes. You didn't want to do them. And you're like both upset. And then you sit down with it and you're thinking about these dishes and the partner who doesn't want to do the dishes. And then you're feeling inside of your body, where do you feel it? What kind of sensation is this being exposed? And then you separate it from the trigger. So you separate the trigger from the source. The source is your emotion. The trigger is a story. And then you start feeling, because Ayurveda says something very beautiful. Everything you take in needs to be digested. So every food you take in, but also every experience, you digest your food with the enzymes in your stomach, and you digest your information with the acne in your brain. But there's also an acne in your heart, which is digesting your emotions. And if you close your eyes and you just feel without any story, just feel. And I always say, like, you're a student of yourself. Just sit with your eyes closed and go feel, like, in your body, where do I feel this sensation? Oh, how does it feel? Where is it? What happens if I just start feeling it and focus it and give it awareness? And that's very beautiful, because the heart, the acne, which is the fire in the heart, only needs one thing, which is attention or awareness. I think awareness is a better English word for this. And then you can start feeling it to melt. But it doesn't work if you attach it to the story. So if you are feeling the feeling and you're thinking thoughts like, and he didn't do the dishes, I'm so angry, I feel all this anger because, and you're projecting it onto the story, it's going to stay and it's going to make the samskar deeper. But if you can attach it completely, then you can do it. And then we have something else, which is separating energies, because the moment you are involved with a person, whether it is in a love relationship or just the guy who fixes your car, for example, anyone you encounter, you kind of share some samskars with. Otherwise, you wouldn't even meet. So sometimes, yeah. And if you share like some negative samskars or some undigested, like traumatic stuff, you need to separate it, which we have also like specific tools for. We need to separate it so you know what is theirs and what is yours, so you can take responsibility for your own stuff and digest. So it's basically a journey. It's like, first we even have a student who made some tiles, you know, tiles where you like write messages on. She's like, this is like the journey. And then it's like step one, do this. Step two, do this. And what I like about this, because it's like a step-by-step program, you don't really have to think. Because if you are like very upset, overwhelmed by emotions, you just have to look like, okay, step one, oh yeah, what is a dosha? Step two, let's sit down and digest everything. Oh, I can't, because that person is really under my skin. So let's use the method to actually separate our energies. It works for me every day. If I'm in a situation and I remember, oh my God, I have to do the work, I'm losing myself in the drama. Just doing mm-hmm. steps, it really works.
So what's the name of this program? And is it easy to like, just tell us where we can find it?
Yeah, it's called From Drama to Dharma. You can find me on Instagram. Just if you're interested, just DM me, because in a couple of months, we're going to start a new round with the group doing this work.
Good. So I have some rapid fire questions for you, if you're open to that.
Sure.
So what is one piece of advice that's really helped you in your life?
I have to think of actually a few weeks ago, one of my friends said, messy action is better than inaction. I love this one. Like, if you want to do something, but you think, no, I'm not perfect enough, or I still have to do more of this, messy action is better than inaction. I've been following this advice for the last couple of weeks. And I've had amazing results, actually. Finally doing stuff that was like prolonging.
Totally. So do you have a morning routine, and what parts of it are non-negotiable for you?
Oiling, for sure. So the Ayurvedic Abhyanga, I oil myself every morning. I do the Hanuman Chalisa every morning. I do Agnihotra every morning. Like, I have to make fires. Yeah, I love my fires because they're burning my samskars away.
we have a fire that we heat the house with. So I make a fire in the morning too. It's very special. I like to play mantras and just like be with the fire. It's not an official Agnihotra, but it's still something.
I think the ritual is just in making the fire, in whatever way you do it, because it's a living entity, right? So
totally. What are you reading right now, or what books would you recommend, like, that have meant a lot to you?
I'm reading right now Ardor, but I think the writer is called Roberto Colassi. It's amazing. It's about the Vedas. It's mind-blowing. It's very difficult to read, especially for a non-native English-speaking person. So I'm reading it very slowly, but it's sometimes makes me cry because the insights that he gives me. And my favorite book, actually, I think, is Kundalini from the Agori series. I think the second book. Oh my God. Like, I've read this trilogy like maybe 6 times already. Yeah, I read them very slow. They've definitely changed my life.
Me too. Dr. Robert Svoboda's Agora trilogy, just for those of you who aren't familiar. So yeah, absolutely. How can people connect with you? You told us it's at Drama to Dharma, right?
From Drama to Dharma on Instagram is the best way to connect with me.
Awesome. Anything else you want to share before we're finished?
No, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I was super nervous because I had to do this in English and
you did great. I think this was so great.
Was
so thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cosmic Business Podcast. We hope it was inspiring for you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review for us so other spirit-led entrepreneurs can find out about us. I want to thank Team Podcast for production support on this podcast, as well as the musicians of the music that we're listening to now, Alexis Georgopoulos and Jeffrey Cantu Ledesma from an album Fragments of a Season, which you can check out wherever you listen to music. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to connecting with you on a future episode.